This is MSO, NewsSports.com. We got our brand new political insiders with us here today. Mike Schultz, who's been a Democratic chair in the city of Peabody, and Casa Vangelidis, who has been his counterpart for a number of years on the Republican side. Neither one hold those positions right now. But we'd like to welcome them into our, we'll call this season one, episode one of our political chats here. And Mike, I'm going to begin with you, and let's keep it timely here today anyways and talk about the California primary, which was the big one, New Jersey on the Democratic side. You were, you're kind of a Bernie supporter here. So give me your take on what happened yesterday in California, and we'll get this thing underway.
Well, basically, Bernie won two out of the six, and basically it's over as far as I can see. It's up to Bernie now to figure out what he wants to do. He can go on, and I have no problem with him going on to the convention. In 1984, when I was a national delegate, we had sort of the same situation. Bernie has over 1,800 delegates, pledge delegates that he's won. And basically, when, in 84, you went in with Mondale, Hart, and Jesse Jackson. And at that time, Hart had won 26 states, Mondale 19, and Jackson 2. Hart went in with 1,164, Mondale 1,606, and Jackson 358 delegates. But the final outcome at the convention was Hart picked up some, Mondale picked up the most of what they called the superdelegates, because that was 1984. That was the first year that they had superdelegates. And Jackson picked up some. And going in, Hart had many calls to the superdelegates going into it, trying to switch them. They said, no, we couldn't because their job depended on and things like that. I don't like the superdelegates. I don't like the way that things going on. I'm hoping Bernie can go in and get some concessions. He's meeting with President Obama on Thursday. And let's see if we can get this thing closed up and take Bernie's people, you know, to him to defeat Donald Trump, who, in my estimation, is crazy.
Well, Cass, I know that, you know, being on the GOP side, it was all over before last night, the primaries here in June. And but any thoughts on anything that Mike said or on this looking forward now to what appears to be a Clinton-Trump general election?
Thank you. Realistically, you know, I did not...
A little closer there.
I didn't pay much attention either last night or the... Mostly because Trump had a seal, and I watched Bernie Sanders. And my only thought is, you know, bring out the boxing gloves. Let's go at it. It should be one hell of a race. The lines are very, very well drawn. I don't think anybody had to sit there and differentiate between whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. I think the race is now the public. You know, what does the public really believe? And from what I can gather, Bernie's done one fantastic job of bringing out a faction, almost that overlays what Trump has brought out. These are people that are just sick and tired of what's been going on. We've got people that are tremendously walk into government with virtually sleeping in a car and one change of clothes and walking out multi millionaires. Whether it's them or their spouses, and now I was absolutely smitten when I heard about the Panama caper where these guys are bringing their monies down here. And this is not a Republican or a Democrat. And these are politicians. And who are they taking? They're taking me and you, Republicans and Democrats. They don't care. They're there for one thing. And I object to the dialogue they keep using, our democracy. Well, let me tell you about democracy. I'm kind of a semi-student of history, and I follow democracies where the word came from Greece. Greece didn't become supreme or powerful when they were democratic. They were a republic. When they became a democracy, that's when it went downhill. And it has been going, ever since then, whether it's Greece or any other country, has gone downhill. And somebody's got to convince me. Although I like Bernie, I like his ideas, I think, you know, the public deserves a better break. They absolutely do. and they're not getting it from either party. But I want to be pointed out in history where socialism has absolutely worked. It didn't work in Russia. It didn't work in China. It hasn't worked anywhere. So they got to give me a very convincing argument. Give me solid examples where it has worked and why it's going to work here under somebody else. Obviously, in the last since FDR, we've had a socialist type of Republicans and Democrats, and it's gone nowhere. We're getting further in debt, further down. When I say in a quandary, that here's education. I followed this in 1960, and they were going to sit there and wipe out, eradicate illiteracy. Guess what? Trillions and trillions of dollars have gone down a drain, and guess what? They're fighting illiteracy again. Why? What are we doing? It's like throwing gas on a fire. It just gets worse. So I think you're going to need somebody with a grip and a vision to sit there and say, look, we've got to clean it up, whether it's the politicians, whether it's the guys that are hanging in. You know, I get very dismayed when I see veterans out there that in uniform that fought for the country, and they have to beg for their services. This is what the public is upset about. That's why they flocked to Trump. They flocked to Bernie Sanders. Both of them are talking to them. And then an off-cuff remark about 2 weeks ago, I was at a small private gathering, and I said, "What do you think? Who's going to be, a vice president for this one?" I said, I'd like to see a ticket of Trump and Sanders. I said, it would be wonderful. You got the ultimate capitalist, I guess, and the ultimate, socialist, I want to say communist, ruffle a few feathers. Wouldn't that be fun? I said, both got an awful lot of great things that they're bringing out. And let the public go out there. And I said, my open comment, put on a boxing gloves, let them duke it out. And then eventually the public will make the decision. And guess what? Politicians will have no other course to follow but to do what they want. They have to. The public usually gets it right.
Well, Cos, let me talk to you a few things about Bernie Sanders as a socialist. He ran as a Democrat. He's run as a Democrat. Basically, that's one thing that's bothered me about Trump. I am a veteran, and as a veteran, when I see Trump wants to privatize the VA, okay, and raise money in the backs. I'm so sick of this thing of people raising money in the backs of veterans, and they're going to these organizations that aren't giving the money to veterans, and it's all, flag waving, et cetera. It's ridiculous on it. But with Trump and Clinton and Sanders, only one person has actually done something for the veterans, and that was Bernie Sanders as the Democratic chair with John McCain when the two of them helped overhaul the VA, which is still not right, but still good, and Seth Moulton is working on that also. So, I don't think, you're going to have anybody that's really going to do anything more for the veterans, but the basic thing is Bernie is running as a Democrat. He's still got some things to say. He's pulled Clinton to the left a little more, which is, I think, where most people are nowadays. So we'll just have to see and wait and find out what happens in the next few days.
Cos, do you want to pick up on Mike's comments at all?
Thank you. I can appreciate that, but the fact is, this is not the type of thing that you can really put a handle on. Bernie's become a Democrat lately. He's got no interest in either party, plain and simple. He never has, and he's not going to. He's going to go to the convention. No, he can't make it. He's going to get concessions, and he's going to go in the background. As far as the veterans go, these guys have had a chance. Whether it's the Republicans, whether it's the Democrats, to clean up that organization, they haven't done it. I hate to see a veteran with a put on a uniform go out there and have to beg for things that should be his. It's a sad commentary when a country doesn't take care of the people that fought for it. It doesn't inspire our younger children to go on and do the same thing. And this is not going back today. This is going back 15 to 16 years ago when they started running away to Canada and not want us to join up for the draft. If they're not willing to go out there and sign up, then there's going to be nothing left to the country. Usually what picks up is the elements become street riots, and neither party's in control of that. It gets out of their hands. So I don't like Johnny Come Latelys. I don't like people all of a sudden they become Republicans or become Democrats. There's some very basic facts. In life and in this country or anywhere else, I liken it to something like 26 indistinguishable scratches, 26 letters, 10 ciphers. Guess what? We send people to the moon. We put that together. How do we do it? How do we do it? Well, you know, we're talking 36 little hand scratches. If you bring anywhere else in the world, they won't even recognize them. And yet, take a look what we've got. And it's only just beginning. It's only just beginning. I want to hear these guys sit there and tell us what's going to happen with nanostructures coming in and various types of the technologies that are on the table are going to make the life for the people a lot easier, whether it's solar, whether it's sun energy, all those things. I don't hear that. So the people, I think, understand this a heck of a lot better than the politicians. They're going to have to get out of the way sooner or later and give them what they want. Otherwise, we're going to become a banana republic. And that's what we try to avoid. In America, it's a question of the ballot, not the bullet. And if we resort to the mob violence, it's going to be a it's not going to be a ballot, it's going to be a bullet. We can avoid that. The people, as I said before, will have the final say on it. I don't have it. I don't think anybody else does. We can pontificate. We can tell them how great we are. We can tell them, I saw this 25 years ago, this 26 years ago. I've seen on both sides of the fence. I put on a uniform. Can I tell you I was thrilled? I can't tell you I was, but it was an obligation. It was an obligation. I had to go. So did my two brothers. It wasn't a question of jumping or hiding or doing anything else. And we didn't have to worry about veterans' rights. But I think of these poor guys, again, I get to get back to them. I see them in downtown Boston. And they're hanging there. Their lot in life was they put on the uniform. And they came out expecting better for the services they gave. And that's what I call service, not political service. I think the moment these guys got to change the term, it's political aggrandizement. It's what they can get. They don't care about you and I. They don't care about the veterans. They're concerned about the bottom line. Unfortunately, it's their bottom line. And here's the one thing I say about Trump. They knock him because of his being a capitalist. Well, excuse me, he's an entrepreneur. I don't see Bernie Sanders. I don't see the Clintons. I don't see these guys coming out there and starting companies because that takes a risk. They don't want a risk. They want a sure thing. So when you take a risk, you're going to have to sit there and do things that are not the ordinary way. It's not textbook. They put their money up. I don't see a politician putting his money up. I call it the beggar's dance. Every time elections come along, they're out there with their tin cup, seeing what they can collect. I see no reason why a guy that's got a $760,000 watch list that's only for a small office in the state of Massachusetts has to hold a fundraiser. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. So I think there's going to be some changes made. Hopefully, both sides will get together and think of the people rather than themselves. And as a lot of people have said, whether it was all the way back to Washington, Jefferson, so on. Hey, the parties are old husks. They're old husks. They don't mean a thing. A Republican, a Democrat, they're all concerned about one thing, getting your money and my money. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in a mess where we wouldn't be so many $1 trillion in a hole and accelerating on a daily basis.
Koss, I want to pick up on something you said earlier and have Mike kind of react to it as we're talking about the presidential race, big theme. So speaking of the speeches last night, so Hillary Clinton probably gave one of her better speeches, I think, last night in the sense of the tone and a positive embrace, kind of a cooler kind of speech than in the past. While on the other hand, Trump, the speech, I just heard a clip of it this morning. I did not get to see it last night live, but he was railing against the political insiders, as Bernie Sanders has railed against the political insiders. And as Koss, as you were mentioning earlier, a Trump-Sanders ticket, people were advancing that idea kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit during the day today. But tell me about this, Mike and Koss, as you look at big themes moving forward, what are the big themes going to be? In other words, Mrs. Clinton cannot kind of take this outsider position that a Donald Trump could take. He can't, and there are some parallels between Trump and Sanders to some extent. The political insiders within the Democratic Party did not want Sanders. The GOP insiders did not want Trump. And they made that very, very clear with their actions. So there was this kind of this line drawn in the sand, like probably never seen before. Probably, as you highlighted, Mike, sort of saw that in 84, but not to the extent that it's so clear, I think, and vivid this year on both in both parties. So I don't. This is kind of a long question. I get that piece. But big themes. Where will this campaign be? What will the big themes be?
Well, basically, part of the thing, I'm going to see a lot of talk on these trades, Pacific trade, NAFTA, et cetera, things that were put in. NAFTA was put in during the Clinton administration and voted on favorably by most of the people that are running, et cetera. But this Pacific trade is another one that Bernie was speaking against. And one thing about Bernie, he is not a capitalist, okay? And basically he has raised all his money by donations from me, and you've heard it before, $27. I've been given $35. So I'm a big spender in that party. And she's been raising money, from Wall Street, et cetera. And, there's no apologies for that. Bear in mind that the Clintons left office with a surplus in the government, okay? But they left office personally penniless after all the different suits that they had on them. And they went out and they, gave speeches and made money, et cetera, as did Ronald Reagan, as did, the Bushes, et cetera, as did all the other former presidents other than, say, Jimmy Carter. But the thing of it is money is the problem. And, the Supreme Court decision was a terrible decision. That's got to be overturned. They got to rearrange these things, get voting on a square pace, so that you don't have caucuses in one state and Democrats and Republicans only voting when the independents are entitled to vote. They should be voting because they vote in the final, and it gives you more accurate count. And they got to basically get that stuff together. The superdelegates, you can make something where these major elected officials, but they got all these other people in there. Some of the people I never even heard of, having been in the party for so long, so I just take it that they must be big money donors. So, the parties have got to straighten out their rules because the whole process was to get rid of the smoke-filled rooms to pick a candidate, which was usually done by money. And basically that's something now that you're seeing on the table. And I think that's one of the concessions that Bernie might get, because when you stop and think about it, if Clinton gets in there and she's saying, okay, well, I'll run again in 4 years, what does she care how they do with this? So she might just turn around and say, yeah, go ahead, we'll get rid of the superdelegates. And then the parties will have ways to come up with things. I've never been somebody that went along with the party's favorite. I've always been kind of a lone wolf on my candidates, and sometimes I won, sometimes I didn't, but that's my feeling on it.
Yeah. Goss, what's your take on all that?
Well, I think the question was, what do you expect out of the listen to both candidates? I see four things that are the issues. It's fiscal sanity, definitely trade, national security, and these are very, very important. And if they skate around the peripheries and dance all over the place, they're not answering what the people want to hear. Now, it's hard to sit there and put in immigration. This is because of one reason. My father came over when he was 12 years old, and it gave him an opportunity. He was an orphan in Greece at six, so it gave him a hell of a chance to come back in there and bring up a family. But he had to have a sponsor. He had to be checked for health reasons. And all I ask him on the premise is, do it legally. Do it legally. It's impossible to shut off immigration, and I don't think I'd want to see it. National security falls right in line with that. I mean, open borders are an invitation to having tanks march over sooner or later. You can't have that. There's got to be a reason. We've got porous borders in Mexico. We've got porous borders in Canada. which they don't talk about. It's the same thing. About 6-7 years ago, they had a national catastrophe. Somebody wanted to buy one of the ports in Maryland. And all of a sudden, somebody woke up and said, hey, wait, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's a foreign country that wants to buy that. This is given automatic entry. East Coast, West Coast. Can't do that. So, in trade is so complicated. I don't think there's a guy that I know of that can sit there and give us a definite answer. We don't know what these agreements are. Mike made alluded to smoke-filled rooms, but I don't care about the smoke-filled rooms, what they do with big delegates and private delegates. That's been going on since Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. That goes back so far, you can't even bring it up. What I do care about is bringing it on like the Republican. Doing that in trade is impossible. You don't know what the concessions have been with China. You don't know what the concessions have been made with Japan, and now even India. India's becoming a tremendous power. I had the opportunity to trade with India when I was in the corporate world. I said, it's unreal what they can unleash. And cheap labor. And guess what? The Americans love it because they're buying little gadgets and gadgets and typewriters and things, and not typewriters anymore, but little computers and things that they couldn't possibly buy over here for those prices. Impossible. So I give credit to both sides. They have given this some thought. It's not willy-nilly. And I wish I knew more about it, but in order for me to learn, I'd have to devote the rest of my life. I don't feel like doing that. I leave that to the bright minds. So those are the four things. And if they don't answer those, all we're doing is going back to the smoke-filled rooms. And what they say is we'll see you in 4 years.
Okay. All right. Hopefully we'll see you guys before 4 years here. But that's our so-called Season 1, Episode 1. We've got our political insiders here on the North Shore, Mike Schultz and Kos Evangelidis, both out of Peabody, and both former city party chairmen of their respective parties. So that'll do it for this time. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewsSports.com.